Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 460. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Cheez-Its are delicious.
That is a true statement. Jeff is here as well.
I agree with that statement.
Should review Cheez-Its on this podcast.
There's a bunch of different flavors of Cheez-Its now, so we probably could.
Right now I'm eating the sharp white cheddar with grooves. Mm. So good. Mm. So good.
I think I might have only had basic.
There's so many different flavors now.
I might
now.
Have had the white cheddar one too. I don't know. White cheddar with what?
So this one I have, they're like thin Cheez-Its and they have like grooves on them. Oh, kind of like Ruffles would.
I thought you said with groove. I'm like, what the fuck is groove?
It's like groove, man.
Yep. These are better than the normal white cheddar Cheez-Its. Come on, you've never had like the hot and spicy Cheez-Its?
Those ones are good.
No, I don't think I have had that one.
The ones that I find weird are when they do two different flavors in the same box.
Oh, see, I like that.
Like white cheddar and...
you put like white cheddar and like a jalapeno together and they mix them together.
Yeah. I don't know if I can get behind that. It's like I want that one flavor. Regular Cheez-Its are good though.
How do you guys feel about combos?
I like combos.
I miss combos. I haven't had combos in probably a decade.
I feel like they disappeared for like a long time. You could find them now again, I feel like, at least around here.
I feel like you go to like a CVS or something, you can find them.
Yeah.
I don't remember seeing them at the grocery store.
I have them at my grocery store, but for a good like stretch of the 2000s, I think they were not around, it felt like.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, how do you guys go on, like, with those? I kind of stick to the cheddar, but sometimes I'll throw in cracker. Sometimes I'm pretzel, sometimes I'm cracker.
Oh, no, nope, not pretzel. Pretzel is wrong.
That's the basic.
Combo
that's
is not
original.
Meant to be. I don't, yeah, the original's like, no.
I do like the cracker, though. Like, pretzel's fine with a certain flavor. Like cheddar is good with pretzel, but
yeah, that's the original. Man. That's
but I like a good like jalapeno one with the cracker around it. That's a tasty flavor.
Pizza flavor.
Pizza flavor. Yeah.
Pizza flavor. It's been a long time since I had pizza flavor though. Like I think I was a kid the last time I had pizza flavor.
See, that's what I'm reaching like back decades.
I'm scared to go back to pizza flavor. Like what if it's not? What if it's not? I remember like it was like. Like, it was kind of a novelty. Like, once in a while, it was fine, but it was not, like, my main ever, you know?
I mean, it's a good gas station food, like, if you need a snack or something.
Oh, yeah.
That's generally when I get them. Like, when I'm getting gas and I have to drive into the city to get my daughter, I will grab a bag of combos or something similar.
Man, I'm going to have to get combos this weekend now.
What other snacks can we run down? Doritos.
Oreo. I got Oreos.
I like the golden Oreos.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah.
The ones the ones I don't understand are the thin ones, like which it's like a it's like they
hey,
taste like a
good.
Really.
I
like
bought one.
Yeah, they're thin cookies and they have like a thin layer of cream. Like this is useless.
It's supposed to be like you know, it's like a low calorie option, I guess, but it's just like it misses the point of an Oreo.
Right. It's like I want
but I think the caramel Oreos are the thin ones too, which is annoying because those ones are delicious, but you can only get them in the thin.
I don't know if I've had those ones yet.
I've seen them. It would be better if it was just
a regular Oreo.
Yeah.
My
favorite one that I've ever had was a golden Oreo, but it was like a limited edition kind called Marshmallow Crisp. And I think it was supposed to taste like a Rice Krispie treat. Oh my God, was it so good.
They do have some weird flavors, like Peep. Like who wants a fucking Peep flavored like Oreo?
I don't know, but the birthday cake ones are delicious.
Yeah.
There's a 50th moon anniversary one that was out like recently in Walmart, at least. I don't know if you guys saw that.
I have them. I'm actually on my second box of them.
What,
pretty good.
What's the cream?
It's marshmallow. It tastes like Lucky Charms.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's like, it's, I like that. It's the stuff that was in the one that I really liked that was in, like, they need to get the golden Oreo and that filling it together again. Yeah, it's like a marshmallow. It also has like almost like a purplish color.
Yeah,
to
it's
it.
Purple. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It was good. I liked it a lot.
Chocolate cookie, I guess. Like
yeah,
it's some chocolate.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do it every once in a while, and I haven't seen the flavor actually in a while, but they had a Dunkin' Donuts mocha ones, which were, it was regular, the chocolate cookie with a coffee cream filling. That was a tasty one.
I think I've seen that maybe, but I've not tried that.
If you like coffee flavored thing, like coffee flavored things never actually taste like real coffee.
Right.
Like coffee ice cream doesn't taste like coffee, but if you like coffee that type of flavor,
so good.
Oh, I love coffee ice cream, but it doesn't taste like coffee.
It's like somewhere between coffee and chocolate, right? It's not like
it
coffee.
It tastes like a coffee drink, kind of something you might get like.
Yeah, if you were to add like way too much milk and a ton of sugar and then freeze it, that might be what it is. All right, well, welcome to the snack cast.
Oh, wait, we're not going to run down Doritos?
We can. Okay. I don't love Doritos.
Oh, what? You know what I miss? I like the baked Doritos. I have not seen those.
I don't
in
like
years.
Those. Remember the 3D Doritos?
3D, they're already like 3D, Jeff.
remember the 3D Doritos commercials? Look like they're flinging them around. Yeah.
So extreme.
I like the regular Doritos and like the spicier ones. They have like spicy nacho Doritos that come in like a darker red bag. Those are good.
Oh, really? You like those? I don't like those.
I like those. I also like the organic white cheddar Doritos.
I don't think I've had those.
This is made up. What are you talking about?
It's awesome.
Never seen this.
Oh, they're hard to find. I feel like even the grocery stores that stock them in DC, they don't even have them that often. But whenever I see them, I get them. They're so delicious.
My favorite is nacho cheese, but I kind of miss the old packaging from like the 80s where it was like a kind of like an orange and white bag.
Right.
Or like kind of like an orange, like red or orange and white.
Oh, yeah, bag. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, now when you see the orange and white, it's like the taco ones.
Yeah, and those, when I was like a teenager, the taco ones were my favorite. Oh my god, I love those. But now I kind of like, I gravitate towards just the original nacho cheese, but once in a while I'll do the ranch. That's about it. I'm not too adventurous with Doritos. Like my most adventurous is taco. Oh, by the way, the worst, just throwing it out there, one last thing, the worst Dorito I've ever had in my life was a barbecue Dorito. Have you guys ever fucking had that?
That sounds disgusting.
I think it probably died off because I spit it out. Like, I was like eating it, like, you know, I love barbecue.
You spat it out.
I spat it out. Dude. Like, I like barbecue, but like, this is just like really gross. Like, it was just disgusting. It probably died off real quick. I'll look this up as we record here, but
I reject this Dorito. It's
so bad. Well, I mean, that might be why they're gone now, Jeff.
Oh, no, they're a real thing. I think they're still around.
That was the last straw, was Jeff spitting the Dorito on the ground.
They are.
Like, we can't do this. If Jeff won't eat it, it's not worth having.
You can get a bag of them, barbecue Doritos. They're really expensive, though. Like,
and
they're probably like a decade old now.
Hey.
But I really do, like, and I don't know if it was I think that's like a modern version of it. There was like an obviously worse version. I'm trying to find it now. But there was an obviously worse version that like was so disgusting, dude. But I would never even fuck with this new one either.
There's two different types of barbecue ones.
Is there like a spicy barbecue?
There's nacho smoking barbecue and there's bold barbecue. One comes in like it's almost like a brown bag. Like a brownish red bag, and the other one comes in a purple bag.
How do you mix nacho and barbecue?
It's not right.
Like, I'm like picturing like a barbecue sandwich. You're like pouring nacho cheese over the thing. Sounds vile.
What are you doing?
Broken. Okay, I found something here. Another Another Doritos flavor, Smoky Red Barbecue, was released in the late 90s and eventually discontinued. Kind of about it, all it really says about it, but I think that might have been the one I tried back in the day.
Yeah, they keep doing it. They like there's. I've gone.
I'm just imagining it has to be better if it still exists.
What was the one you just said, Jeff?
It's like Smoky Red Barbecue or something like that.
Okay, so I'm seeing Smokin' Cheddar Barbecue, which doesn't sound appetizing either. There's also
Smoky Nacho, Smoky Jack Chipotle. Okay,
and then back
there's
from
some crazy burrito shit out there, I guess.
Back for Madden 12, they released, I guess, Madden 11, they released Tailgater Barbecue, inspired by EA Sports Madden NFL 11.
Oh my god.
It seems like a bad choice.
Here's the thing, is like I like a barbecue chip, but like that's not the flavor you expect out of a Dorito, I think, is part of the problem. Right.
The barbecue and plus the corn is...
Yeah,
not right.
Not it right. Works. You don't put barbecue sauce on corn.
Like it works on a potato chip, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh well, that's vile. It don't is. Make barbecue Doritos.
No, don't do that.
Most other Doritos, though, I get a thumbs up.
Earl, what's your favorite Dorito?
I don't actually eat Doritos.
What?
Oh my God, another one.
This podcast is over.
Fucking split up the band.
Jeff, it's not that I don't eat Doritos, but like really, I only like the nacho cheese and the spicy nacho. And like, if I had a choice, I wouldn't buy a bag of Doritos.
Here's like my problem.
Yeah, like, I'm not gonna throw them away, but I'm not gonna go out of my way to.
Jeff, have well, them. He'll spit them out of you.
He'll spit it out, Morty.
No, but here, I'm kind of the same as you, Chris. Like, where it's like I only like a couple different kinds, really. But if you like, if I sat down with a bag of like, let's say I made a sandwich and I sat down, I'm having a couple Doritos. That bag's still sitting next to me as I'm playing a video game. After it,
they're gone.
Bag is getting eaten, dude. Like at least half that bag is gone.
Yeah, I can see that. I could possibly do that as well. That's why you don't eat out of the bag, though.
That's right. That's why you get a bowl. You put them in the bowl.
I try to be an adult most times, but I'm saying if you just get lazy, you make the sandwich, you grab the bag of chips off the counter. Next thing you know, half the bag of chips is gone.
Yep. See, here's the other thing: you don't keep the bag on the counter because that's an easy place to grab it. You put it on the top shelf.
I put it on top of the fridge sometimes.
This is why Tony is way more fit than I am. So where is like eye level? Like so I don't have to reach too high. Yeah, that's
right,
a good spot.
Right, coffee table. That's where you keep the check.
Now, if you're gonna be, that's where you put the nuts and like the fruit.
All right.
It's all wrong.
Have we exhausted snack time?
I mean, we could do this at the beginning of every episode.
Okay, I had to get a snack after all that. I'm getting I got a mandarin here.
That's not really a snack. That's a fruit.
We started this off because Tony was eating Cheez-Its.
Like, I got to balance the Cheez-Its out.
You missed quite the rundown. We did combos. We did Doritos. Like, what's your favorite Dorito? What's your favorite Oreo?
A plain Oreo.
I mean, that's a good choice.
Anything else? Just like thin. And I don't like the double stuff one. That's way too much.
Oh no! Like at that point, you just take it apart and you just eat the cream. Like
you have, I completely forgot lemon, dude. I fucking love lemon Oreo.
That's
my jam right now. Is lemon.
Lemon Oreo.
For real? Don't you guys like lemon Oreo?
Lemon is a fruit. It's not supposed to be a cookie.
Oh God, I love lemon cookies, man.
I actually do like lemon cookies, but I didn't realize they also made lemon ice cream. Like, I've had lemon flavored, like, yogurt and stuff like that. I didn't know ice cream. That just seems like an odd combination, dairy and lemon.
Yeah, like, I've had lemon sherbet or, like, sorbet.
Yeah,
but
that
never,
kind
like,
of, yeah.
Lemon ice cream. I don't know if I'd like that.
I'm on the endless search for pineapple ice cream. And, like, you can find it here and there. But it's pretty hard to find.
I've seen pineapple sorbet.
There's pineapple ice cream.
Why?
That's the right question.
In Disney World, they have like those pineapple Dole Whip things or whatever. It's so fucking good. I don't know what exactly it is. Like, you know, it tastes like ice cream, basically, or frozen yogurt, whatever.
It's like the double down thing where people are just like, we can do it, so we might as well, and not thinking of why we're doing it.
Don't underestimate the flavor of pineapple. Like, pineapple ice cream is real good. It's just, I don't know why. I think it's because people have preconceived notions, and they don't want to give a chance. Pineapple.
I like pineapple, but I'm not sure I like it with dairy.
Seek it out. Like, when you go to Disney World, like, they put pineapple in everything. It's like pineapple in the bread and ice cream, fucking just everything say, pineapple.
You say the bread?
Yeah, they have pineapple in the bread. At this one place I ate at. It was really good bread, too.
Okay.
Take your word on that one.
I do not lie. Earl, some pineapple at Disney.
Earl, just so we have all of our opinions out there, what is your opinion on combos?
They're okay. Not my go-to snack.
What's your go-to combo, though, if you get them?
The normal ones?
Yeah, like, well, okay, what, the pretzel?
The cheese and pretzel or cheese and cracker?
Cheese and pretzel.
Yeah. Yeah, me too.
I'm a very basic snack person. My go-to snacks are like Teddy Grahams, Cheez-Its, Wheat Thins.
Just so good.
Teddy Grahams are good, too. It has to be certain flavors of Triscuits I like.
I like the original Triscuits with just some like cheddar cheese on it or something.
Yes!
Yeah.
A nice sharp cheddar.
Doesn't that defeat the purpose of the Triscuit, then?
Why?
No,
crackers are like transportation vehicles for cheese. Yes.
You're not putting cheese on a cracker. What's the cracker for?
That's right.
They're a nice, healthy, dry snack.
The ones I eat, the crackers, I'll get like the Toll House buttery ones or like the Ritz ones. Yeah. They're not good for you at all. Like they're not like a plain cracker. Yeah, well, they're tasty. Like that's why I like them. But like anything doused in butter is probably not good for you.
No.
Yeah, live forever.
It's true.
You can try.
That's also true. Normally, you need a lot of money for that.
And all those delicious snacks.
Jeff's goal is to live forever and just keep eating all the snacks.
Science will find a way before I like.
Yeah, it's the worst when people come back from vacation and they bring all these yummy foreign snacks and they're just sitting out there tempting you. Like somebody went, well, I mean, that wasn't as foreign. Somebody brought back a bunch of fudge this week. So good.
They went to the Jersey Shore.
Where?
They went to Martha's Vineyard.
Okay.
Yeah, that's like, they're not too foreign. I always feel bad because I don't do that when I go on vacation because I'm like, I don't think about you people.
I bring back stuff for myself.
Oh, no, I bring back stuff for myself and my family, but not my coworkers.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, like people will come back with like little trinkets.
Yeah.
I mentioned to you guys before, like, have you guys ever heard of the Wisconsin Dells? Probably not, right?
No.
Yeah, okay. I'm going there next week. I'm on vacation or whatever. It's just like a place nearby. But like, if you're from around here, people know what it is. It's like, I think they call themselves like the water park capital of the world. It's just a bunch of like water park and like tourist trap type shit. Like, here's a haunted house. Here's like one thing they have is like a white house that's like flipped upside down for some reason. Like, I don't even know. I've never been in it. But there's just like shit like that everywhere, you know. And it's just kind of like a weird tourist town in Wisconsin.
Huh. So, I've never been to Wisconsin, but
I've never been to Wisconsin either.
It's a good place to go, like if you want to like get a cabin and go fishing and shit. You know, like it's a cool state for that. You know.
Yeah, but, I've never been in the mood to do that.
Yeah, I know. I hear you.
Are you going fishing, Jeff? Like,
no, but like this one town is like kind of like the tourist spot in the state, you know what I mean? Like it's
okay,
you could do that stuff too if you want. Like there is a lake and it's a pretty nice lake there, but like that, you know, that you could go on the ducks. Like I don't know if you guys have heard of like duck boats where it's like, yep. Yeah, You do that. Like, you know, it's there's like theme parks, there's water parks all over the place. It's just stupid shit everywhere. And there's a downtown area where we can buy like fudge and t-shirts and cheese and whatever the fuck. Like, so I just remember I mentioned it to you guys like a couple of years ago, and like I was like, I just assumed everyone knew what Wisconsin Dells was, and you guys were like, I have never heard of that in my life.
Wisconsin isn't really something that
I think about.
It's kind of like if you live here, it's like a place people will go to vacation to sometimes. Like if you're going for like a outdoorsy type of vacation. You
know? I can see that. Like, doesn't
that's if you're there. I mean, like there are places you visit because you visit. Like you hear Las Vegas and they're like, okay.
Yeah, like
Wisconsin is like a destination.
I imagine you guys have spots like that around you too. Like you could go somewhere in Pennsylvania that has that type of shit or even better.
Oh, yeah, like I mean, like that's where I go to vacation just about every year. We go, it's called the Poconos. It's like a mountain range.
I mean, everybody knows the Poconos.
Yeah. I don't know
if I like New York does, like, and maybe Tony does because he's not that far away, but
right,
like it's more of like a northeast, like resort area.
I just assume so because
this is the Poconos of the Midwest. I don't know.
Well, you usually like in movies and stuff. Like when they want to say somebody's rich, they like going to the Poconos for a weekend.
This is crazy because nobody's really rich up there. Like, it's just mountain homes that are cheap. Like you can buy a mountain home cheap up there because the economy sucks. And it's not bad.
It's funny because I know a lot of people who not in the Poconos, but there are a lot of people who own. I think the big one, like this, is more a very specific New York City thing. It's Fire Island, which is I honestly don't know what it is, but it's like a place. Like a lot of my coworkers have like these homes they go to like once or twice a year because it's like super cheap, and there's like nothing else to do there.
Oh, that doesn't sound fun.
When you got money and kids.
I guess.
I'd rather just rent a place for a weekend or whatever. Like, you know.
I don't know. There's something about.
You can rent it off the rest of the year and shit if you're not there. Like.
There's something about ownership for people. Like, one of my former coworkers bought a cabin in Pennsylvania that they couldn't really afford. I'm not going to be telling people business on this show.
Yeah, well, let's not do that. I found video the Walmart games? Super Center I went to. Video games.
What? What are you talking about?
I'm liking like the we're going to like a travel and food podcast, and I kind of dig it. I feel the spinoff coming right now.
Yep, we're almost there. I mean, we'll get the full review of the Wisconsin Dells when you get back and.
I pretty much gave you it. It's about it.
And I'm on vacation the week after that up in the mountains, so.
I feel like I should go on vacation.
You just went on vacation for like a month.
That's right. You were gone so long.
And it's so weird because it's been so long ago and now all my coworkers are leaving. I'm like, I got to go away. So, I mean, like right now I'm planning two small trips, small-ish trips. I'm going, my friends have something called, which apparently they say is very self-explanatory, something called a Pound the Steak Night. And that is next weekend, the weekend after, in Connecticut.
Okay.
And then I'm thinking of going to New Orleans for Halloween.
That'd be cool.
That sounds fun.
Wow, yeah.
Sign me up for that one. Actually, I have to go to Florida for early November, so I don't think.
I think you're going to stay for like Disney's. Because they have a Halloween thing, right?
They do, yeah.
Absolutely. It starts in like August.
I don't know where we're going. We have to go down for a wedding, which isn't going to be fun, but.
Oh, okay.
Is Florida man getting married?
I mean, like the two people getting married are fine. Like they live up here though, and her family lives down there. So they're all like
so. Florida man's attending the wedding, but not actually.
Yes. In the wedding party. Yeah, no, he's not in the wedding. Especially not him. He is not.
Is there going to be any yoga pants?
You know, I don't know. I assume there's a dress code. I'll let you know when I go to that wedding. Anyway, yes, games. We play them occasionally, maybe in between all of our travel and snacking.
Right. Or sometimes during your travel. I mean, that's what the power of Nintendo Switch brings to you.
True. Because I think Marvel Ultimate Alliance is going to be my, like, while I'm on vacation game. Because I can just have it with me. But that came out. And I believe all of us have played at least a little bit of it.
Some of us are playing it right now.
What? Impossible.
So, what do you guys think of it?
I enjoyed it, but I think the honeymoon phase is kind of worn off with me. I mean, honestly, my biggest problem with it is I still find it weird that you can't... There's no real self-recovery in this game.
Right.
Which I find odd for an RPG-ish game.
Are there no classes that can heal, like, your team, or...?
Well, eventually you'll unlock, I mean, I don't know if it's voice is a, like, Doctor Strange has a healing ability.
Okay.
But is he really?
Yes. So it's like an area and effect one. And I believe that Scarlet Witch has one. And then you'll have people like, Wolverine and Deadpool just naturally heal themselves.
Right, that's one of their mutant powers is regeneration.
It's like the enemies will drop little red orbs.
Yeah, but not all of them do, and that's the problem. Yeah. There are boss battles, especially being that there are... I mean, honestly, the big problem is there are boss battles that are, like, two-pronged, so, like, you'll fight them, and then they'll go into a second phase. I don't know how far any of you are. I think Ultron.
I got into one that's really, really hard, dude. Like, you, like, kind of, like, spend yourself on the first phase of it.
And then there's no way to heal in between it.
And then the second half is, like, he's, like, way more resilient, like, too. Like, his health bar was not going down as much. It was, like, I kept getting him down to, like, a quarter bar or less and then dying, like, running out of, like, shit with all my dudes. Like, they all ran out of health. You can't revive anymore. And then, like, finally, after, like, honestly, like, probably 15 times, I just lowered the difficulty and beat a torch shot. But I was kind of upset that I had to do that. Like, it seemed unbalanced compared to, like,
Mitch, I see people
complaining. I can't remember who it was, honestly. I really can't. But, like, I feel like I'm kind of deep in the game.
Well, the two that I know of, the big one I know was Doctor Strange.
No, I have Doctor Strange. Huh. Or maybe it was one I was fighting. Who else? Who's the other one?
The other one is Ultron. I hear it gets worse later on. But Endor Mama was the same way, but that's kind of similar to the Doctor Strange fight.
It looks pretty.
Oh, it looks
better than it did in, like, It looks better, like, when you're playing it on your TV than it did, like, in trailers and shit, in my opinion.
It looks better than that stupid Square Enix Marvel game.
Well, that actually looks better,
like,
from
the character models actually look better.
That looks better from the footage that they had from San Diego. So it looks like they already fixed a lot of the character models with that game.
But yeah, so, like, I mean, comparatively to what we saw at E3, though, for that Square game, like, I like what these characters look like.
Oh, yeah, and I think this, I mean, from what I've seen of the Square game, I think this also plays better in the sense that you kind of, there's a tactical feedback to using all these superhero powers, and, like, each character feels distinct. From the footage you've seen of the Square Enix one, it seems like everybody is very specific on what they are, which is fine, but it seems like it's very... I think the way I described it to people is that it seems like it's combat that's designed for giant hordes of enemies, but you're fighting one or two people at a time.
I mean, you get some boards.
Not in Ultimate Alliance, but in the Avengers game.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
No, this game you get a lot of hordes, and sometimes that can be really overwhelming because this has the same problem that all these games have. It's very easy to lose track of your character.
Yeah, with everything going crazy on screen. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just gonna say I generally like really like the game. I'm having a lot of fun with it. I really am, and like I'm not even a Marvel head, so I can imagine like if you're super into Marvel, it being cooler. Like, I'm not down on the game. There just are little things that.
Like, oh yeah, I'm having a great. I enjoy these games, and yeah, but I you know when I first started, I was having a ball. But like you go, you know, I'm like maybe 7-8 hours in. It's like some of this stuff is kind of frustrating because they do have these fights with these boss battles.
It's kind of always out for me.
And it's also because you also have that weird thing where it's like an RPG. Not all your characters level up at the same time, but there's like weird spikes, and it doesn't feel like the game. It doesn't feel like the game's like giving you enough XP in between segments where it's supposed to be like, this is you're at the ideal level without having to go do some of these infinity trials to grind.
It can be weird though, like, you know, I want to swap in Spider-Man. I didn't use him in a while, and he was like level 6, and my other guys are like level 25.
Yeah.
I mean, but then like the other thing about it though, like, I love these games. Like, I played the first Marvel Ultimate Alliance. I didn't play the second one, but I played the X-Men Legends games too. Like, I've enjoyed them all. I like this type of game, but like, the weird thing to me is like, you think about Diablo, it feels like you have a little more control over like making your individual character kind of a little bit. Like, here's just like, you're going to get 4 abilities and you can fill them out. Like, you can up those stats. Like, there's a progression, yeah. Like an RPG progression, but there's no real choice that what you're doing, except the choice is like what characters you want to roll with, which I guess is a trade off, I guess. But like,
I mean, there are a little bit. There's some customization, but it's so broad. Like, you have the ability to, you have the Alliance chart, so you can put points into that to, you know, but the thing is, it buffs your entire team. So it's weird to kind of build for an entire team instead of individuals. And then you have the ISO 8, which is kind of like your. It's actually something they've been reusing a lot with their various games.
So but it's. Tack on, these are like things you can tack on to your characters, like gems, basically.
Yeah, so it's like, oh, this person has more health, or this person has. You know, they do more damage with their light attacks or something like that. And as you level up, you can add, I think you start off, you get one side eventually, and then by the time you get 4 as well. So you can have 4 different gems or 4 of the same gems. And then you can power up those gems with the crystal dust or whatever.
Crystal dust.
Yeah, I don't know how, but. Yeah,
so like, there is a lot of things, but it's just like you're on a linear path with all of it. It's just like fill these things up. Like, yeah, you can plug in different, like, what are those ISOs or whatever they're called?
Yeah.
But it's like that's introduced kind of relatively late, I feel like. Like, I didn't get that till hours into the game.
It's not introduced that. Well, yeah, I guess it's introduced like chapter 4 or something like that.
How many chapters are there?
It's supposed to be 10.
Okay.
It
could be an 8. I think it might be an 8, yeah.
On the flip side, though, they give you a ton of characters really quickly. I mean, within the first hour, you're probably up to 20-something characters.
But then it's a slow drip, it felt like. Like, I have, like, a couple slots. Actually, a decent amount. And I'm like, yeah, I think I'm pretty late in the game, so.
Yeah, I'm not going to fault them because they give you so many up front.
No, yeah, cool.
Yeah, but I know what you mean. Where it's like, okay, now I'm just getting 1 or 2 per chapter. Mm-hmm. But the first one you gave me, like the first, you start off with the Guardians. and they're like the prologue, and the first thing you do, then you get Spider-Man, and after that you get, I think you get something like 10 characters in one cutscene, because you get like all the Avengers and Wolverine. It's like that, if you've seen the original trilogy, it's like that big group shot of all those characters. That's the opening team. And then it's like you get one or two after that. But I what I will say is I think it works for a lot of characters because a lot of them get these big grand entrances. Like I have Iron Fist's entrance and Daredevil's.
I have not played a ton of it yet, so
I am not nearly as far as you guys are.
I just made it. What is it? The raft? Is that that?
No, that's like, so you're like, just past the prologue.
Yeah, like I beat Sandman, got the like introduction from, you know, all the other characters finally showed up, and then I was like, I have other stuff to do.
Well,
that's exactly where I am. I'm at the same spot as Chris.
How do you guys feel about this?
So I liked it. I don't like the camera. Like, there's a lot of like narrow corridors.
Oh, that only gets worse.
And like, if you're anywhere close to the edge, you can't see at all what's happening.
From what I understand, you can like in the options do something with the camera. I have never touched it. Like, but I do remember early on it was doing a lot of like it's trying to follow you around or like it would dip through doorways and weird shit like that. And I don't know. I got used to it. I was fine with it after a while. Like. I would almost prefer like a fixed like Diablo style camera, you know, just kind of above them.
Yeah.
But I think you can, I'm not going to say for sure, but I think you can adjust it to say, I just want to do that, you know. Like I said, not sure, but. Did bother me after a while because it gave you kind of more like, you know, cinematic, more traditional like video game angles to shit.
They have what they call a hero camera, which is kind of like a third-person camera that follows.
The God of War style camera.
Oh, so you can set it more in the other direction is what you're saying. Like, where it's like, it's more like a third-person action game.
Yes. The problem is this game isn't designed for that. So it's very, the camera's, like, it also works because that one also has, what am I trying to say? Words. That one also has like a lock on stuff, which you don't necessarily get in the 3D.
Okay. View. Yeah, I could see that being necessary. If you were going to go with a different view, I like the a more pulled back camera, so I can kind of see all the enemies.
But. Yeah, and that's the problem with the 3D view is that this game is designed around being able to see hordes of enemies.
Yeah.
And if you can't.
Yeah, it would just make it frustrating.
Mash all the buttons. You'll get out of it. Hold down the trigger and press the face, you know, whatever face button you can just lit up and then you'll get out of it.
So have either of you, since you've played more of it than Tony and I, is like, have you played any online multiplayer? Is it easy to get into?
It is. I mean, it's easy enough to get into, but it's not intuitive. I mean, there's that's another minor pet peeve of mine. I'll get to the online in a second, but like, the Infinity Trials, which is kind of like the game's test mode or, you know, challenges. Like you can find them in the game in stages, but when you do, it takes you out of the actual stage. And if you finish it or if you fail it, you then go back
to the beginning of the level.
No, you go back to the menu.
Oh God, that's terrible.
So yes, so it's like you don't continue where you left off. It's like you have to pick. Like, once you do it, you'll continue where you were in the game. But that's an odd decision that, like, oh, I found this thing in this game.
Yeah.
I'm going to take you out of this game and you have to come back here.
Yeah, I don't like that at all.
No. But, online, I mean, I guess it makes sense for this system. And I don't mean to switch. Like, you have to have somebody who's, you know, going to be the leader, so they have to start the game. So you have to know that your friend's playing the game. It's not, and I, as far as I can tell, you can't invite people. You could password protect the room and stuff like that. And then once you do it, you, like, if you play the game, you know, like, if you pick a character, like, there's a menu for you to pick characters and for you to, get special abilities and stuff like that. That's all one menu online, and it's a sub menu, so it's really weird because it changes how you do it if you play on your own versus if you're playing with people online, which again kind of makes sense. But yeah, it was very confusing because then it wasn't like we were playing and people were picking characters and it wasn't showing up as who they were picking. So we had, at one point, we had people playing Captain Marvel, and the game doesn't allow multiple instances of the same character. In theory, I mean, there's a bug that you can actually get multiple versions of the same character. But outside of that, I mean, once we actually got in, it was pretty smooth. We played for about an hour and a half. It was fine. There was no major lag or anything like that. The only thing is, and I don't know if you folks have played a ton of co-op, it seems like synergy moves are a whole lot harder when you have to coordinate with people. Especially since this, I mean, I guess it works with the Nintendo app, but I never used that thing.
Oh, so you need, you can't really talk.
Yeah. I mean, we were talking on
Gmail. Is that still a real thing? Like, is that, like, does that still exist? Like, I've never used it in my life. I never downloaded it. Like, I thought it was gone.
No, it's a thing. It was funny because, like, when I joined my friends yesterday, like, a little thing pops up that, oh yeah, it's like now connected to your Nintendo. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess that is a thing people still use.
Oh my god, I was always like, I'll just play silently with someone else, or fucking we'll figure something out. Like, I have not played any co-op of this game. And I think for me, like, I might play it with my girlfriend, or I might play with you guys if you want to play, but, like, part of me, like, thinks this works really well as a single player, because I like being able to switch between the four characters on the fly. Like, I think that's, like, one of the unique things about it, and, like, I like when they build up their meters. Each character has, like, an extreme move. And so, like, if I'm fighting a boss, I like flipping between them all and using an extreme move on the boss, like, as myself. And like, I think that feels really good.
I was gonna say, you can activate them all at the same time.
How do you activate them all at the same time?
Like, if you do, like, if you're just playing by yourself, just keep on pressing Z, R and L, and it's gonna have every character has it. They'll just join in instead of you having to switch to them.
I like the rhythm of that. That's crazy, though. I did not know that. But
yeah, it's harder to sync up in, again, with, because, I mean, part of it was my friends were new. I've paid much more than they have. So, like, they would do it, and then they're like, they're nowhere near the boss, or somebody, or somebody started it, so somebody else is like, oh, I'm going to join in without knowing what that meant. So we ended up wasting a lot of them.
So it's like, if every character has their thing all the way filled at the same time, you just tap the triggers together, keep dabbing them.
Yeah.
Okay. But like, the other thing about it to me is, like, it's like, again, it's like you feel like you have less ownership over your own character. So it's like, if I play with my girlfriend, it's not like she's gonna want to, like, play as whoever the hell she picked this the whole time, right?
Right.
It's not like like the thing in this game is, like, you're always swapping out, like, the new characters. Like, it's kind of the thing of it. And so, like, when you're playing with, I just can imagine playing with my girlfriend and just being like, this is not, like, as good. I'd rather just
Right. She'd rather just pick, like, a demon hunter in Diablo.
Exactly.
Like, as opposed to, like, that. You can't really just pick, like, I mean, you can, like, you could just sit there and play as Captain Marvel the entire time, but it's not as fun because that doesn't have the same.
Yeah, I guess because nothing really changes once you're on that.
It's like, if you're playing with people online, it's like, are you just sticking with the same character, or are you like, all right, let's swap things out? Like,
well, I mean, you can do that. I mean, it depends. Like, I would, I just being a pain in the butt. Like anytime we pass by one, I would just do it anyhow because I do like the idea of switching out characters every so often.
That's the thing about the game. I think that's a big thing about it.
Also, just because I fit it out more, my highest character, my default characters, are like level, 25 or so.
Yeah, when,
we're starting the game out of those characters like level 5, 6, 7.
Yeah.
So. It's a bit unfair, but I get your point. But at the same time, I can also understand somebody who's like, oh, I'm going to play as so-and-so this entire, I'm going to play as so-and-so for co-op because that's going to be my character. But the downside to that, especially early on in the game, is that not every character has a synergy or there's not a ton of them. So you kind of want to make sure you have those attacks as well because they do a lot of damage.
Right. Otherwise, you're making it harder on yourself and your team by sticking with like, hey, I'm going to play as Captain Marvel, but she doesn't have what I need.
If you're playing with other people who are like attached to like, I want to play, I know, I'm playing as Wolverine. And you're just, all right, dude, I guess you're Wolverine. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like. It's just, it's not the same. It's like a little different than Diablo in that aspect because it's like.
Right, there's so many characters.
And... out, but you, people are inclined to want to build a character, like.
And the other thing, I guess, is because, Diablo, you're creating a character. These are known quantities. These are characters that people have an interest in outside of the video game. So I think people would want to try to make their character work. Because it was funny. I have friends who were like, they will get in the game. They're like, oh, I'm going to main so-and-so. And two of my core characters on my team so far are characters I really have no frame of reference for in the comics. Tony might know them. Crystal, which is an Inhuman.
Inhuman, yeah.
Yeah. And Elsa Bloodstone.
Okay.
Yes. So apparently she is she's in Next Wave. I already went to my comic book shop on Tuesday. I'm like, I've been playing this game. I have this character. I think she's really awesome. Can you tell me any comics that you have with her in it? And she's not in a lot of comics. They had nothing in stock. They did give me some recommendations to check out. It was Next Wave and I think Monster Mayhem or something like that. And I think she was... Yes. But yeah, she's not like a major Marvel character. I think she's had maybe less than 100 appearances.
So they're stretching for some cat, like they're doing some deep cuts for cool. Like I do like that.
It's like not an overly huge roster, but it still feels like
It's 36, I believe, is the actual final count. That's a pretty... And then you have free DLC coming in August with Cyclops and Colossus.
Marvel has a stable, man. It's way deeper than 36.
But I mean, you also... And this is the problem with most comic books in general, is that after a while, a lot of these powers are kind of redundant. They find a way to make it unique, but even like having Spider-Man... Miles, Spider-Gwen, and Venom is a bit like,
I could see somebody wanting to play each of them, but that's a lot of spider people.
Yeah.
And I have a little different things.
Yeah, I mean, they are focused on different stuff. Like, Miles is focused more on the fact that he has electric webbing. So
Spider-Gwen has like a spread shot.
And she also does like the wrecking ball. Venom is just a heavier character, so he controls and moves differently than spider people in general.
Right, and I mean, I totally get it because I want to add Spider-Gwen to my team when I get a chance.
Good.
I mean, outside of that, I just like that character. So that's
And that's what I meant, though. It's like when I got them, I added Spider Gwen, I added Miles, and I added a Carmella to my team. But then I was like, "Oh, yeah, I didn't necessarily care for all of them on my team." And a lot of them, because especially with the spider people, a lot of them are more agile. You kind of want agile, but you also kind of want that tank character.
And right. Then you want a magic person, you know, like you kind of want like that rounded RPG team.
Yeah,
I try to maintain it anyways a little bit.
Does it still have like the bonuses for having a like yes. if you were to put like Daredevil, so Punisher, and I mean I don't, Punisher's not out yet, right? But no, if you were to like put like the Defenders together, like
yeah. So if you have like the Avengers or like the what Spider-Man, or Miles, Gwen, and their champions, because that's their team in the comics, so you get that bonus. You get an Avengers bonus. There's a bonus, I think, for people who are new to this game. So, yeah, there's a lot of different bonuses that you can get.
Like an X-Men, like if you do all X-Men characters.
Yeah. And you don't have to, it's not like you have to do all of them. You get a bonus based off the percentage. So, like, say you have X-Men, you might get like 2% or something.
It's,
like that.
It's not like all or nothing.
Yeah.
Right. So like,
I'm doing mostly X-Men team, and then I have Thor in there. He's fucking raining down thunder and lightning and shit. It's fucking great.
Speaking of, I just got my girl, Storm.
Mm.
I don't have her yet. I have the two people I've kind of mained from the beginning of the game are Wolverine and Thor. I kind of like the combo of those two guys, but
Miles has pretty much been on my team, and I will be honest with you, it was because I went through the back people in the game, and he was the one that I actually enjoyed playing the most. It was so new Cage, Falcons, but I just got Storm, so she's on my team now. So.
How does Miss Marvel play?
I did not use her much, because she's a brawler, and I don't like to kill combat people too much.
Yeah, I like ranged. Like,
you know, I like the same. Is Captain Marvel.
Okay. I've heard about it.
So she was my third main, and then I kept swapping out my fourth character, but then I finally swapped her out to make a mostly X-Men team. So I forgot exactly what I'm rolling with now, but Captain Marvel, she was with me for most of it.
Nice. I'm looking forward to diving more into it. Probably when I'm on vacation, because just seems like something you could sit down, play for a little bit, and then move on.
I really like this game. I get what you're saying, Earl, about like the honeymoon phase kind of ending in it, but still, like, it's just like, to me, it's like
it's like I mentioned last week, I was playing Fire Emblem Warriors. There's something very visceral about these type of games. You just it doesn't ask a lot from you. It's a lot of fun. Like I said, these are very recognizable characters. It's kind of great to see how they're introduced and play with them. So I'm just saying, like, from a gameplay standpoint, there are some headaches that should have been ironed out. And I think the biggest one is the camera, followed by the non-healing stuff, followed by that weird, like, going back to the menu when you do, like, those trials.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really weird. Like, and some of those things could be ironed out, but I don't know. To me, it's like it's a game that's like probably a 7 or 7.5.
Yeah, which is what
it's about. For me, like it's like both, like it's like a 7, but it's like a game you want in your collection. You know what I mean? It's like both of those things at the same time.
That's fine. I mean, like, kudos.
Take the MCU. It's passable entertainment.
There we go.
And it's, for me, it's like, it's not even like I'm not an MCU person. It's just, I like being able to play with different comic book characters and also just fucking like that Diablo type gameplay and a little bit of progression. Like, I like that shit.
But I think what Earl's saying is it's candy. Like,
it's
fun. But it's not super, it's not amazing, but it's fun enough that like you want to keep playing it.
It's like mediocre candy.
I am biased.
Here's your candy corn. Enjoy.
I would love to see a DC version of this, because I also think they have. My problem with them is like they would probably do it and not do as deep a dive into their character roster.
The thin Oreo of games.
It would be the Trinity, and then they'd add in like Green Arrow and Flash,
And, yes, and then a bunch day. Of bat, like, they'll have Nightwing, Robin, Batgirl.
Yeah. Like, yeah. You're going, oh, there's a lot of spider people here. Like, three quarters of the roster will be bat people.
Yeah, it's going to make an Injustice roster where it's like half of them are bat characters. But yes. But no, it's, I mean, here's the thing. I think it's worth Kane. I don't necessarily know if it's worth $60.
Yeah, that's fair.
And that's
Well, that's Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
Yes, that's Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
Did anybody else play anything new this past week, like that has recently come out?
I played about 45 minutes of Madden.
So, Madden
20.
Okay. Yes. I don't know. We're like now looping back on stuff. Because did they not call the one that was the 20th anniversary Madden 20, or was that just Madden 25? So
you are going backwards.
Yes, I guess. Sure. So how is Madden 20?
The game pops you into the Pro Bowl the first time you fire it up.
Okay.
So I did not get to be Tom Brady. So it was a little sad for me.
Oh, no.
In fact, I was playing as the AFC, and I don't think I used a single New England Patriot.
Oh, no.
I mean, you wouldn't, right? Because
nobody wants to use the Patriots.
There was nobody there, though.
That's right. Because, you know, they were in the Super Bowl, so they didn't have anybody in the Pro Bowl. But the game played exactly like Madden 19.
Oh, okay.
It looks different. Like, a lot of the presentation stuff is crisper, and some of the information is presented differently. But the game itself, I didn't really see a whole lot of, like, upgrades, which is funny because normally when they pop you into the, like, example game for a sports game, they highlight the new features.
Like, all their changes, right? Like,
QB vision or like whatever it happens to be, wrist shot mode or whatever.
And there are some new things because I remember at E3, like, they had a thing on Madden and they talked about like special moves that star players have and
right, yeah, like special roles. And in fact, once you get through this game, you can like go through like a role tutorial, but it's like. They throw you into the game and don't tell you. They literally tell you nothing. It's just like, okay, play this full, like, it's 4 minute quarters, but a full football game without telling the player anything about what's new.
Figure it out on your own.
The one thing I did notice was the last couple of Maddens have really focused on like XP and like the RPG elements of player development. So when you are pulling up the screen to see your play on the field that you picked, it'll show you like a bunch of like quick goals for a bunch of players on the field. So you're like, okay, J.J. Watt needs 2 sacks, or DeAndre Hopkins needs to catch 2 passes over 20 yards. And you can like see those like RPG goals before you run the play.
That's nice. So, like, you can like then target those players to kind of fill out their goals.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah. But that was the only thing I noticed that was actually, you know, new.
Well, I mean, you've only played 45 minutes of it, right. So I'm sure you'll get into it a little more.
I did notice though when you call timeout, instead of going into like the whole timeout motion where the referee comes up and swings his arms and they show the coaches talking on the sidelines. It just looks like timeout really big on the screen and moves on. In fact, the between the play stuff was a lot choppier like that too. It was I was facing another team and they were in the hurry up. And instead of showing all the players running up to their spots, it did a mandatory runoff and just went to the next play.
Oh, wow.
And the players were where they were supposed to be. I don't know if like the game proper is like that, but it's kind of weird to see that in the demo version.
Right, because like that's not how football is.
It was like the clock kept running after the mandatory runoff, but it was it looked weird, especially after having seen like it more realistically.
Yeah, where they're
like every Madden for years.
Yeah. Like even back, like going all the way back to like the the Genesis and PlayStation and PlayStation 2, like they would, if you're running the hurry up, like they would have animation of the guys running to the defensive line to get back on sides, and that's weird. It's a weird choice.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that it's just like maybe it's something they turned off or haven't yet finished coding, maybe.
I mean, the game's out soon, right? Like next
the
week?
Game Tuesday.
Tuesday.
The early purchase versions.
So yeah, they could fix it anytime now.
Sure. Anytime. They got plenty of time.
All right. Well, I'm sure we'll hear more about Madden.
So much more. Jeff's excited.
At some point. I played another new game that's not out yet. It's still going to come out until September, but I played a bunch of the Gears 5 tech test. It was very buggy. Like the test itself, I could not get into any ranked matches, which there were two different game modes over there. I couldn't get into anything on that side. So I played a bunch of the arcade mode, which is it's like a faster paced version of like Team Deathmatch. I think you're trying to get to like 50 kills or something like that, but they've made it into almost like a hero shooter, like Overwatch. You don't have any special powers, but each of the classes, each that you pick, they have a certain loadout, and then as they get eliminations, you get points that you can then buy a new weapon with. So like, and they have certain weapons that each class has certain weapons that they can upgrade to. So like, if you get 4 eliminations, like you can get a grenade or something.
Maybe I was confusing because we played Gears 4 as well. Doesn't it also have something where like each character has like a special, not an ability, but like they might have like a hidden passive trait?
Yeah, they have a passive trait. So like if I was playing a lot of, I don't know what the class was, but I was playing a lot of like Kate, and then there's the Swarm version of it. They each have the what is called like second wind. So if you die a couple times in a row, like you'll actually spawn in with like a boost in health, or something like that. Like, so like Marcus, I think gets like a speed bonus. Like Baird might get like a damage bonus, like depending upon certain things happening in the game. So yeah, there is like a passive trait, but there's not like a power that like they can access, like in Overwatch. Like if you build up long enough, you can do your special. There's no special. It's just like you have this skill that clicks on when you hit the right requirement for it. And then they have the different weapons. They've added a hammer, kind of like the trying to think of like the hammer that's in Halo. The energy hammer.
Yeah.
They've added something like that. It's like this giant like swarm mace. it like wreaks havoc, and like it has an area of effect. So like if you get, you don't have to like necessarily hit somebody with it directly. You can hit in front of them and it will throw this shockwave at them that will down them or kill them. So that thing's a ton of fun to play with. But like you have to be playing a certain character to get that. Trying to think of like any other new weapons I used. That was like the big one, the one that was like the most fun. They've changed the way shooting works a little bit too. So it's more reticle based instead of a like there's a. I'm trying to think of what's like kickback on the weapons now. And it depends on where your reticle is instead of the bloom mechanic that they had before, where it was like it would shoot and the reticle would go real big. Like now it's like because of the kickback and the like you want to kind of like keep your gun down if you can. And if you can do that, like guns like the Enforcer can really shred through things because they fire a lot of rounds, and you can keep it low. I like arcade mode. Seems like there are people like that are way more hardcore than I am about Gears that are not a fan, but I think it's more designed for like casual play. It's not going to be a competitive mode. It's just like go in, have some fun. Like getting an assist gets you an elimination, which gets you points to buy new weapons. So that was all I played about that, though. It looks really pretty, but Gears generally does.
Yes, I mentioned this, and this is an odd complaint, I know. I thought this game was a bit too bright for Gears. Like
the one map, did you play on the training grounds map?
Yes.
Yeah, it's very bright. It's very day-ish. There's no, like, it's like on a nice sunny day. There's no overcast. There's no smoke in the air. It is a little bit bright. It's very colorful, but very bright.
Which is an odd
convert on your TV, Earl.
Yes, it's my fantastic HDR now. I was going to say, it's also kind of ironic, because again, we paid Giz for this week, and we were complaining about the fact that that map was too dark.
Yeah. Wow, yeah. And I really like that map. And there's a different variant of it, where it's not as dark. It's not like midnight out. And like you can see things. Like, I like how that map works, but I think you need to be able to see across the map.
Yeah. Because it's not even that it's dark. It's like all the fire and smoke and stuff. It's very hard to, aside for the giant arrows over some enemy's head, to see them across the map.
Yeah. It's like, because the lighting is actually really good in Gears 4, but it does like a natural lighting, right? So like if you're near the fire or you're looking in that way, like everything there is nice and bright, but then you lose visibility when you kind of look away or you're looking because there's just like this glare from the fire and you can't see across to the other side of the map, which is unfortunate because it'd be easier to take out enemies.
Yeah.
If you could see them.
But you know the best way to take out enemies?
Walls.
That's the walls. You need those fences.
Oh my god.
to fill people in on what our little in joke here is that when we were playing, we had a random, and he decided to spend all of our money that we had put into our base on fences.
Fences that were so far back they couldn't affect anything.
Yeah, like yeah. we're all out maybe 100 yards, like a whole football field away from our base, fighting, and he's putting fences around the base where no one's ever going to be. So he's just wasting our money.
Yeah, to clarify that, it wasn't that he was just building the, hey, Gerda, you put money in, and somehow he'd be the first one there.
He's like build lurking the there.
Yeah, and he wasn't the engineer.
No.
He just wasted all of our money. Oh, he was good enough, right? Like he was pulling his own weight, but it wasn't helping that he wasn't fortifying us in the proper way.
No, it became really apparent every boss wave when almost all those bosses could just walk right through the fences.
Had no turrets, no like auto turrets.
Or if we have turrets. My favorite thing is he did the turret. He did them like one behind the other, but they were behind the fences, as if the fences were protecting the turret from intruders, which I guess they could have been, but...
Right. If any enemies could get there, and if that was where we were fighting from, but we weren't. So, random people. It's always fun. Gears 4 continues to be fun, though, so.
Oh, yeah.
2 years on. You guys play anything else this week?
I still playing some more Destiny.
Two?
Yes. and I figured out what I was doing wrong last week. Apparently, even though I bought the Forsaken Edition, you actually have to, like, there's a code that comes with it separately that you have to install the Forsaken with. And then you get, with that, you get one chance to up a character to,
like, the where the old level max was, right?
Yes.
So was it like 25 or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. So you get one freebie of that. So I got to figure out what, I mean, I only have one character, but I want to see if I want to stick with the Titan or if I'm going to do another cast.
I did it back on in Destiny 1, whenever that second expansion came out, like the big one that everyone was like, oh, this is good now. But I remember they upgraded, but your skills didn't upgrade. Like, you didn't get the experience to upgrade your skills. So you were at level 25 and you could use that armor and that weapon, but you didn't have the skills. Like, you still had to level up the skills to get to, and I don't remember how Destiny 2 does their leveling up.
They do. You get points for Yavu, and then you put the points into, like, your grenades, and it's not a very intensive skill tree.
Right. But it is, I think it's different from the one they had in Destiny 1. So
yeah, because it's not like XP based. It's like every level you get, I think you get, a while, the points don't mean anything because you know, you still have a past 20, but you can't do anything with it.
Right. Because you're gaining those, like, you're still leveling all the time, but they don't mean anything. So they just give you points and dust or whatever.
Yeah, they're right. Yeah, fool.
Right. Anything else? Jeff?
I played GameCube. You want to hear about the GameCube?
Oh, God. The what?
What did you play on the GameCube?
One thing I did play, actually bought it off of eBay, was WarioWare. Like, the original WarioWare or whatever.
Okay, yeah.
I think it was awesome. You know, like, it's just kind of, I don't know if you guys remember how, like, it was, like, structured at all, but it's, like, you have to, like, kind of perfect these levels, and, like, you basically have to, like, beat, like, 25 levels in a row and reach a boss and beat that boss on 4 lives. And if you can do that, then you unlock the next set of levels. And it can be a little, like, hard and frustrating, but it's fun. Like, you know, WarioWare, I think, is a cool formula. I don't know why they haven't brought one to the Switch. It seems like an obvious...
It's one of those franchises where they're very, very particular about, like, wanting to do something new with it every time. Cause
you don't really have to, though. Like,
you don't have to, but Nintendo wants to, which is ironic, because I think the one you're playing is just a port of the Game Boy one.
Yeah, it's just like, there's no gimmick to it. It's just like, press A, you know? That's it. Like, most games are press A, you know? So...
Then they did motion with the Wii, and then they did Game Wario with the Wii U.
But you can kind of do all of that on the Switch, or just do none of it. Just make it like the original. It would be great. I like that. I think that original one is really good. You know, there's some of the other ones that are really good too, but I thought that was a good buy off of eBay for, like, I think it was like $18, which is pretty good price for a GameCube game nowadays. So.
Yeah,
I want to get Wario World, which I don't know if any of you guys have played that, but that was like a 2.5D. A 3D platformer from Treasure, and it was short but really fun, I thought. So that was not expensive, but some of the other stuff I want is expensive.
Yeah, it's that generation is, like, weirdly, like, as you said before, like, those games were so cheap not too long ago, but they're getting just old enough that, like, there's not a lot out there for certain games. And so, like, their value is increasing a little bit.
Like, in my, when I worked at GameStop, like, Chibi Robo was not a super common game. But we sold it for like $10, and it's like, you know, it's well above that now. Like, I want to get it again, but it's like $80, I think, minimum or something crazy like that, you know. And that's every GameCube game has gone like that. Like, like Luigi's Mansion was like a $6.99 game, and now it's like easily $30. You know.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it was that because they prolonged the GameCube generation with having Wii backwards compatible, is that you had there was still kind of a market for those games, but now that we're several generations removed from that, and it is also kind of funny because I, you know, being around when some of those games came out, nobody wanted to really touch them. Like I think Chibi Robot sold like 5 copies.
I was one of those though. I really did love that game. And so, like, I'm upset that I sold it.
Yeah. It happens. Now,
So, are you going to get any non-Nintendo games?
I would like to get the Twin Snakes, but that's very expensive. Although, I think Nintendo might have published that.
That is Nintendo, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like my library is pretty filled out. Like, I would love to get the Time Splitters games back, but, like, I don't feel that they would hold up that well. Otherwise, like, dude, I have, like, a pretty good GameCube library. Do you have some in mind you would recommend?
I mean, it's always weird because, you know, it's... I mean, the GameCube was actually kind of... Comparatively, it was a pretty decent system. In between the PlayStation 2 and the Xbox as far as power goes. So there's a lot of good third-party ports, but I'm thinking of stuff that you mentioned the Time Splitters. I'm thinking of like the James Bond game. I think Everything or Nothing is my favorite James Bond game.
I like Agent Under Fire.
Yeah, it's stuff like that. The wrestling games, like the Day of Reckoning stuff. I think those that stepped on, but that's you know more of my thing. Soul Calibur 2 is a big one.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind getting that. I don't know what it goes for, though.
Soul Calibur 2 is one with Link, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I like the GameCube version of that the best.
I wouldn't mind getting the Xbox one, too, because I had, like, Spawn, I think. But I have no idea, like, I don't know if you guys know offhand what that goes for. It could be common. It could be expensive. I don't know, but...
I bought it not too long ago, and it was like maybe $10-15.
Okay, that would be really reasonable price for.
I mean, I think like at this point, like that's what you know, like reasonable wise, like that's going to be reasonable. Like you're not going to get them most of those games for like under $10. So.
So, for instance, I considered buying this, too, but they had, at, like, my local shop, they had NFL Street for, like, $15. And that's, like, an old sports game, so it's, like, you feel like that should be, like, $1. You know what I mean?
And I'm sure, like, the Maddens are. That's more, like, that was more of an arcade sports game.
It's, like, I'm, like, tempted to get it because I remember, it's not like amazing or anything, but like it had like a fun arcadey hook to it. Like it felt good. Like it was a good, fun little like football game.
I was gonna say you get the NBA Street one with Mario in it.
NBA Street.
I earned some money. Like, I bet.
I mean, NFL Street was fun, but NBA Street, like those games, 1 and 2 are fantastic.
Never tried them.
And then 3 has Mario in it for some odd reason. And do you have Wave Race in 1080?
I do have Wave Race. I got Wave Race for $6 at the shop down the street. Like, this is last year, too.
Now, that's a game I'm surprised they have not ported or made a sequel to. Because, I mean, the water physics would be amazing.
Yeah. I mean, that was a thing about the game even in the N64 version. Like, whoa. Yeah, I don't know. I love that. Like, that is easily my favorite system of all time. Like, I'm so obsessed with the GameCube because I do feel like it had that, like, deep library of interesting games. It had the great Nintendo games, and it had a lot of the third-party games, too. Like, you get, like, Splinter Cell and shit on GameCube. Like, I don't know. It was a system that got made fun of at the time by, like, my friends because I was into it, but... Now looking back, a lot of people like it, like how I do, you know. So
the GameCube was good.
Vindicated. Go ahead.
It was a good system.
Yeah.
Soul Calibur 2 on GameStop is now selling retro games. Just FYI.
Yeah, they have
to buy them online
for 20. The Mario World one I want.
Yeah, well, they have Soul Calibur 2 for $8. So.
But my problem with buying from them is it's like I'd rather buy from eBay because eBay will tell you it's complete in box. It's fucking
yeah. You don't ever know what you're gonna get.
With GameStop, it's like this disc might not work. It might be like a disc in a fucking it comes in like a little
comes in like that little paper sleeve somehow.
Yes, like, here you go, and it's the same price as if they had a copy in the box.
Yep.
So.
I haven't had bad luck buying retro stuff from them, but
I don't trust it.
This base stuff, it's just you never know if you're going to get a box or not, and if you don't care if you get a box, like it's not a bad.
I kind of do.
Yeah, then you're gonna pay a premium because the case and box is going to be more expensive. So,
like I would buy a loose disc if it were cheaper. You know what I mean? But like, it bothers me to pay the same price no matter what.
Well, right. But I think if you go onto eBay and try and buy Soul Calibur 2, like you're probably going to pay $15 for it with a case and a box. Whereas you can get it for $8 over there. Depends on what you want.
Yeah. So I would go with that 15 probably, but I would also accept the other way, but I want a deal. You know what I mean? I don't like the GameStop way of doing it, then,
Yeah. I will say this. I've now traded stuff into 3 different independent shops, and obviously GameStop over the years. GameStop is competitive or better, generally.
For than the independent values?
Yeah. If people always complain about, the trade-in values, and GameStop does rip you off in that regard, but so do these independent shops. Like they're not any better in how they're doing it.
My problem with GameStop has never been the fact that seems to be a thing people don't get. I paid $60 for this and I got 2. It's it's what's worth, dude. Don't
care anymore.
And also we have to pay people, and also we have 60 copies of this disc we don't want. It's just I thought you fucking $40 for the game that's not going to sell.
Right. Well, generally, GameStop, there are definitely times when I've gone and they go, we don't take this anymore. But generally, they take almost everything.
Yeah.
Whereas, these independent shops go, oh, I don't need this one. And then
they're smart about it.
Right. Well, they have to because they can't hold 60 copies of SpongeBob SquarePants.
I don't need 80 copies of Madden 16.
Right.
I'm good. You know what I mean? I don't need any. I need maybe 2 copies of that at best.
Yep.
And
anybody that wanted that already has it.
GameStop had no interest in figuring that part of it out.
For them,
my problem with GameStop is not that's the least of my problems with GameStop.
Oh, yeah. What were you gonna say, Earl?
Oh no, I was gonna say GameStop also just had the infrastructure of they could take stuff, but they could sell it online and they can transfer it to other stores. So they had places to hold that inventory where other places don't. But to that point, and I don't know if you folks read an article on Kotaku this week, they were talking about some of the signs that the gaming industry can't really sustain into next gen, and one of them was that cost of development's going up. But the cost of games hasn't. And honestly, if anything, the cost of games has gone down in the sense that you can wait a month and you can get most big games for
Apex Legends. The biggest games are free.
Well, but I think the other side of that is also we're looking at it and going, the games haven't gone down. They're $60 at launch. But in many cases, they're not the I hate saying they're not the full game because they are. That's what they're selling you. But then they're, Street Fighter is selling you $90 worth of extra shit if you want everything.
Oh, yeah, and that's true. But, I mean, the thing, I mean, I guess the trade-off there is how many people are buying the game for $20 and then are going on to spend that $90 on those characters.
Bro, not me, for sure. Yeah.
and that's where the disconnect comes. Like, it's a weird thing. It's a weird thing when you look at the health of the industry in terms of dollars and cents. The industry has never been better. I mean, companies are making money, and that's, but on the downside, you're seeing S games overall. We've had this discussion before. We've seen, S new IPs. You're seeing S investment overall from players or engagement with players beyond a certain point. And you can look at trophies and achievements now and see how many people actually complete a game. And if like 50% of people are competing in that game, how many of that 50% are then going on to buy DLC, buying the season pass, engaging when you do these patches? So how much money, what is the expression? You can't throw good money after bad money. Yep. At what point do you just be like, oh, we're going to fix this game? Like, look at Anthem. Like, at what point do you think EA just throws up their hand and be like, you know what? This game is this game.
I think they may have already done that. I'm not telling anybody.
They put that left to pasture. It's gone. Rest in peace.
You were saying last week, right? Like, they haven't hit any of their roadmap goals.
No. I don't think we've gotten any. Like, I'm at this point, I'm kind of envisioning a No Man's Sky situation where it's going to be like radio silence, and then it's like, oh, we have this mega patch that's fixing all your problems. The problem is you've had 5 months now of narratives of this game being broken and not great.
Yep.
And that catches on. Because I've heard countless people tell me how amazing Rainbow Six Siege is. But Rainbow Six Siege always is going to have that initial impression of not really being that meaty when it came out.
Right. I mean, and they've done a great job with that game. I haven't played it, but like, they've added tons of mode. but people are playing it.
It's a very dedicated base, but it's like, is it growing?
Yeah, I don't know.
And that's the problem. It's like, there's a ton, like, the same thing with No Man's Sky. I've heard a lot of people say how much better No Man's Sky was after that patch. I don't hear anybody actually talk about playing No Man's Sky.
Yeah, our attention spans are short. Right? Like, they are, though. Like, if a game comes out and it's not good, like, we move off of it very quickly.
To be fair, even if a game is good, people move off of it really quickly.
Yeah.
Like, I was, Super Mario, but I was looking at it, and for some reason, it always was my mind that Kingdom Hearts 3 came out this year, because Kingdom Hearts 3 was, like, this mythical game for almost a decade.
And now you can get it for $20 already.
Yeah, and that's where I'm like, oh, wait, this game came out this year, and, like, all the people who were hyping up and excited for Kingdom Hearts 3 got Kingdom Hearts, they paid it, and we've moved on.
Yep.
Yeah.
Moved on to the next new hotness, whatever that is.
It was the same thing where, because I assume Tony saw this as, like, I get a lot of sales for this week. I saw Devil May Cry 5 was on sale for $20. I'm like, wait, that game came out this year too, didn't it?
I would maybe jump at that.
I think some of that is the quality of the game. So it's like, I didn't play Kingdom Hearts 3, but from what I heard, it was not amazing.
Rage 2, $20 already.
Yeah. Rage 2 came out this year?
Yeah. May.
Oh, okay. For some reason, I thought that was a game that was still coming out.
I mean, maybe it should have been.
Okay. But yeah, it's like, you look at that. Like, again, you know, like, everybody talks about, like, how amazing the first quarter of the next year is going to be every year. These games come out, and then you just kind of move on so quickly. Because, yeah, I mean, Days Gone is another one that I don't hear people talk. To be fair, I don't hear people hype that up as much. Mortal Kombat 11.
Resident Evil 2 is the big one.
That came out this year.
I mean, Tony, I saw, like, that's the big one that, like, it still sticks with me. Like, I still think about how good that game was. Like, that's kind of sad because that was a remake.
Yeah.
And, like, there has been a lot, like, there's been games this year, like, Sekiro, like, I didn't finish it, but I played most of it. But I don't think about that anymore at all. Like, I don't know, man. There hasn't been a lot of, like, real heavy hitters for me this year. To the point where I've retreated back to playing GameCube games, so.
Well, it's not even so much that, like, not every game's going to be a heavy hitter. It's just so weird to see the disconnect between something that you people anticipate and hype up for years and years and years, and how short the life event is actually once it comes out. Like, the example I always think of is The Last Guardian. Because The Last Guardian was a decade plus in the making. Came out that December. I'm almost certain people stopped talking about it that January.
And then you have, like, the inverse of that where it's like, I don't know, like, Rocket League. No one was looking forward to that. That game's fucking, people are still playing that fucking game, you know, 5 years out or whatever, you know.
Oh, yeah. I think the prime example of that is for me. Was Fortnite. I remember when Epic revealed that game, I'm like, this looks dumb.
Yeah, it kind of morphed from what it was anyways.
Yeah, I was going to say, to be fair, what they showed is nothing like what Fortnite is actually known for now. I actually don't know anybody who's played the actual campaign mode.
Nope.
I've tried it. It's.
I mean, I loaded it once, but yeah.
But yeah, it's and there are certain games that kind of come out of nowhere that kind of take hold of the cultural zeitgeist. But it is a weird equilibrium there with that. Like, you guys, something like Overwatch. I don't remember Overwatch being like this big title when it was coming out, but now it's probably one of the games that can generate interest with just a teaser about new content.
Overwatch is a special case,
but that's what I mean. Yeah, well, but yes. And you look at a lot of those games that were launched in the wake of Overwatch, and a lot of them, like, I mean, I still like it, but like how much Apex Legends has kind of waned in since its hot start in February.
Yeah. Speaking of Apex Legends, I played a little bit of that this week. That's still a good game, but they haven't adjusted anything with it, so I don't know how they're going to grow. Right? Like, and like Fortnite is always changing their thing, and
yeah, and they had a big event in game this week, wasn't there like a kaiju battle?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, there was like some in-game event that, and those are always kind of big because everybody kind of stops and wants to admire what they're doing. And yeah, it's weird that you had Fortnite and you had PUBG, two games with these similar models that Respawn didn't seem interested in copying. Because, like, yeah, I don't think there's been any major changes in the... Like, I think we've had two or three new characters introduced into it since then.
For?
Apex.
Two, one.
Okay, I thought it was more than that. But.
So they had Caustic and Mirage, but they were available at launch.
Yeah, but you had to pay for them.
Yeah, and then they just added in Watson.
Okay.
So just the one, really. I thought there was supposed to be another character in season one, but I'm not sure if that ever materialized.
Right, and that's just poor planning on their part.
Yeah, I think because that's part of, at least for that game, is the character's personality is like kind of like Overwatch. That's what people latch onto for it. So you need to be, and your roster isn't Overwatch size. It's not Overwatch size when Overwatch launched, and it's certainly not Overwatch size now. You need more characters in there for people to play.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, you folks are on vacation soon. I'm gonna say maybe there's nothing major coming out next week, right? Except for Madden, I guess.
Fire Emblem is
oh yeah, that's out Friday. That should be out now.
Yeah.
Democratic debate.
Yes, that's a drinking game. I was going to say, because I think it would be interesting to kind of look at what's come out this year on a show and kind of see like where they are now, both in terms of kind of, I mean, granted, I think our circles, we're running very similar circles with like social media and stuff like that. So there might be a whole other part of social media that's talking about some of these games ad nauseum. I don't know, because I had a very dedicated Kingdom Hearts fandom, and a lot of them have moved on.
Yeah, like the fans that I know that are big Kingdom Hearts fans, like even like they've moved off of it. Like it's a single player game, like, and they put their 40 hours in, they enjoyed it, but now they've moved on to, you know, whatever else is 40 hours long. Okay. Whatever JRPG is out there.
Yeah, which I don't know what that would be right now. I guess Fire Emblem would be tomorrow, so that's the next one.
Yeah, I mean, the people that are, you know, in the Discord or in the Reddit groups that I'm in, like, they're playing, like, they've gone back to play, like, Tales of Vesperia and Tales of Berseria, like, the Tales games.
Oh, okay.
And that stuff. Was it Dragon Warrior? Not Dragon Warrior.
Oh, Dragon Quest.
Dragon Quest.
Yes. I do want to say this much. It's not something exclusive to video games. This happens a lot with movies and TV shows as well. An example is Endgame. Like, that was talked about, and now really the thing that's been talked about mostly for the past, honestly, past 2 months or so is it or is it not going to beat Avatar at the box office? It beat Avatar at the box office, but it's really not been much about the movie itself. Same could be said, you know, like the flip side is you have something like The Last Jedi, which I thought that conversation got exhausted way too often.
Yeah. And that conversation, which went on for 5 months, killed a whole nother movie in that franchise. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, to be fair, there's a lot of reasons that movie killed.
There were. They should have released that in December.
Even before that, they should have figured out what this movie purpose was.
Yes, I think they marketed it like garbage. I thought the movie was fun, but yeah, there wasn't much purpose to it to it existing, and it was in a shit release date.
Yeah, which is ironic. Again, you know, kind of talking about it in hindsight, because I remember when that movie was coming out, everybody's like, you have to move away from Star Wars. Deadpool moved up 2 weeks so that it wouldn't be after Solo. And
the whole time I'm going like, what the fuck is Disney doing? Like they're killing Solo, like throwing it out there in May.
Well, I mean, I get why, but everybody has this notion that Disney's invulnerable when it comes to movies. It was the same thing, a very similar thing happened last year, where everybody was like, Mary Poppins going to dominate the Christmas season, so every other movie needs to get out of the way of Mary Poppins. And then Mary Poppins ended up doing worse than Spider-Verse, and Aquaman ended up wrapping it by, I think, 3 times as much money. So, you know, conventional wisdom isn't always on the side of logic for people.
I saw all 3 of those movies. Spider-Verse and Aquaman are better.
I'm not seeing Mary Poppins, and it was one of those things where I feel like Mary Poppins, much like Dumbo, because Lion King and Aladdin did well, is I feel like those are too old for people to really be nostalgic for, because you didn't grow, you grew up with them, but you didn't grow up with them.
Right.
Where Aladdin and the Lion King are movies that people who are going to movies and taking their kids to the movies grew up with. Anyhow, you folks talk about video games and stuff.
Yeah. So I don't know. Tony, you play anything else?
No, just Madden and Gears and Marvel.
Are you getting Fire Emblem? Because I know you're a strategy RPG, but you're not necessarily a Fire Emblem fan.
Yeah, I've never played a Fire Emblem game.
We should rectify that at some point.
This could be my chance.
It could be your chance.
Could be.
Coming out right after Marvel and right before Madden.
And Nintendo games never go on sale. So.
Oh, that does remind me, though, if you're everyone Nintendo games that the voucher program for some odd reason expires next week. It's
oh, Nintendo.
So if you want those discounted games, get your vouchers now. They're good up to a year after purchase, so you can have them up until next July, but you can't purchase them again after that.
How weird. Well, maybe they'll bring it back at some point. Okay. Real quick, I did play some games on Game Pass. I tried out Dead by Daylight. I don't like that game. It's one of those asymmetrical four players trying outlive, like trying to escape the killer game, kind of like Friday the 13th, I guess that Jeff played a bunch of. I don't know. It feels clunky. I don't really like how the gameplay handles, and I think it looks ugly as shit too. I don't know. It's very popular, but I did not enjoy it. I tried Void Bastards out, which Pete talked about maybe a month ago or so. That game's cool looking. I don't like the roguelike elements of it, though, where your guy dies and you go back to the beginning to try and do your trek again. Everything you collected stays, so your progression kind of like as you need to collect these things so you can build something to get out. Like, that progression doesn't stop. It's just getting a run to get all the shit you need. It's a cool looking style, though. It's like very comic booky. And it's kind of cool. So that's out there on Game Pass. And not on Game Pass, but I did play through it. I played The Lion King on the Genesis, which is the exact same game on the Super Nintendo. That's not a good game.
Great.
It's a good looking game that sounds awesome. Like, it has phenomenal music and sound effects. There's like voice encoding on it, but it is not a good playing game. The collision on the platforms isn't very solid. It's not very forgiving. I don't know how any like little kid would play through that game, because it's very difficult, and I would not have beaten it if I could not like play with save states. But I don't recommend that game at all. It's really bad. And that's it for what I've been playing. Earl, did you play anything else besides Marvel and Gears and
Destiny? And Destiny? I think that, Fire Emblem Warriors, but I've discussed that enough times on this show. And some Overwatch, but nothing's changed with that either.
Was there any news? I didn't really catch anything. It's been a slow news week, I think.
Well, there was a new Overwatch character, Sigma,
mm-hmm.
who apparently has feet, and that has driven the internet wild.
that a human character has feet?
Well, I think because he has exposed feet.
Mm.
I guess the other Nintendo, I guess because they were being sued. Now, if you have the Joy-Con drift issue, they will repair it for free, even if you're out of warranty.
That's a smart move for them.
Yes, I think we're going to send in a pair of minds at some point, just to, because, yeah, I've had the drift since launch, but it's never been a huge enough deal, but why not?
Yeah, do you have a second set?
I have three sets. Don't know why.
Hey, as long as you have a set to, you know,
to play with, and I have the Pro controller, which is what I mostly use.
Right, that's a pretty good controller.
What else was there? I think Tetris Effect is coming to PC, as always. Oh. It's Steam Store exclusive.
Epic Store
exclusive. Sorry,
Epic Store exclusive. It's out now. It's on sale for $32. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to buy that version. I'm still waiting for either a Switch or an Xbox One port. Hopefully it makes its way there.
We can only hope. And I think, honestly, I think that was it. It was a really quiet week, which is odd coming out of San Diego.
Yeah, I guess there was not, like, Comic-Con doesn't really have a lot of gaming news anymore.
No, but I guess the one thing, as I noted earlier, is that, of course, this was going to happen. Square showed off a newer version of the Avengers game, which was not supposed to be seen by the public. So, of course, somebody recorded it and posted it online. And the character models do look improved over
E3.
Yeah, which I have to say is really good timing for them. Which, again, is also weird that they hit it because she had like this bad publicity for a month. Why not go ahead?
Yeah, why not just release that and go, we fixed it?
Yeah.
Maybe the gun shy after the last one.
It's not the off-brand Avengers anymore. I mean, it still is.
But it's not as off-brand. Yeah.
It's like slightly better.
It's like on double. It's like when you don't go for the supermarket brand, but you just go for the generic brand.
Right.
So it's just up there a little bit more. And I think a new Yokoyai 2D game was announced, but nobody paid that. So, yeah. Oh, and I guess Travis Strikes Again is on the PlayStation 4 in October.
Okay. I don't play No More Heroes, but all right. Well, I think that's it. We've lost Jeff.
Jeff died.
Yeah. No.
We'll resuscitate him. It's not the last time.
Yeah, I mean, his girlfriend will drag him to the Dells of Wisconsin and resuscitate him there. Drop some Miller Lite on him or something.
Oh, that's even worse. I'd stay dead.
I think that would revive Jeff, though.
That mighty Midwestern bear.
So maybe we will kind of like review the year next year, because I don't think we're going to have anything new, and just kind of like take a look at how those games are doing and what our opinions of them were, like Earl suggested, because I don't know what else we talk about next week, because there's not really anything new, and I don't think any of us are getting Fire Emblem. So
I might. It depends on how I feel and how much I want to waste money.
Fair. Yeah, I could see that.
It's what happens when you're single with no kids.
Yeah. Yeah, you can. You don't have to worry about making sure they got their shit.
Yeah.
You can buy yourself a nice new toy every once in a while.
Yeah. No camp, no daycare, no babysitters, no textbooks.
I'm going to punch uniform. You through this podcast. I'm going to like reach the wires right now.
Have a good night.
Yes, we will be back next week. Earl, say goodnight.
Good night.
Oh, God.